All right, are we ready for the word of God?
Yeah.
I'm ready for the word. Why don't we stand one more time? One more time. Except if you're holding a baby, you stay, don't move, because the baby will wait. All right. And let's welcome Anita as she comes to bring the word this morning. Give her a welcome.
Thank you. Why don't you stay standing? Let's commit our time in the word to the Lord. Father, thank you for the privilege of having the written word of God in our own language that we can read and comprehend. And thank you for the Holy Spirit who is our helper, who comes alongside and illuminates the word to our heart. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come in fellowship today. And Lord, I pray that you would use me as a vessel, that Lord, people would not hear me, but they would hear what you're speaking to their individual hearts, Lord. That they would hear your voice and they would be able to be transformed by the renewing of their mind this morning, Father, to be more and more in the image of Jesus. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. And the saints said,
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Really, Jody and Jeremy and Steve all preached my message already. So,
you
can. We'll just have a recap and a dismiss. So. Not going to quite let you off that easy, although I probably could. All right. I want to talk to you this morning, and we're going to build on this into next week as well. From trying to trusting. What does it mean to trust the Lord? And how do we get out of our own way? How do we stop striving and trying so hard? How do we enter into what he has for us where it's an easy fit, not a hard striving? Several things that I want to mention, but while I'm sort of getting to where I want to go, can you all turn, please, in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs? We're going to go over what, for some of you, may be a very familiar passage, but let's go to Proverbs chapter 3 and unpack some stuff together today. So one thing that I would say characterized my Christian experience as a child, and particularly as a teenager, would be the word trying. I was always trying to be good enough, trying to read the word enough, trying to pray enough, trying to feel like I was accepted enough, holy enough, righteous enough. What other words can we put before enough? Basically, the feeling was, no matter how hard I tried, I wasn't enough. And there was always someone further along than me or better than me. And there were always people, I guess, who weren't as far along as I was. But when you're trying, the natural tendency is to compare. You compare yourself to those around you to see, how am I doing? They become your benchmark. But we're going to have a look at this scripture together. So if you're there, can you say, I'm there? You're there? Oh, that's awesome. I like to have, like Steve, a few different translations. So I'm starting out in the New King James. This whole passage is really amazing. So we're going to go through a fair bit of it together. But let's start in verse 1. This is Solomon writing wisdom to his son. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Can I just say something? I want to just pause for a minute. I just want to see, show of hands, who in the room wants length of days? Who wants to live out the extent of their life and not have their life cut short? Okay, that's good. I had a client I was cleaning for. She's only in her 50s. And She doesn't have purpose attached to her life yet. She doesn't realize that there's a purpose for her life. And she said to me, "Ah, oh, life is such a drag. Like, I hope I don't have to live long." She said, "I'm bored." And she's only in her 50s. I just couldn't fathom it. Any of you feel bored? I'm glad I'm in good company then. But hey, we're not talking about length of days in the sense of I'm going to have a long, drudgery-filled life. That's not what this means. It says, "And peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men." Any of you wish you had a bit more favor, a bit more high esteem in the sight of God and men? Well, this is going to be some amazing keys today as we unpack this. It says here, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you." And as I go through this morning, we're going to hear what that means about mercy. Oh my goodness. Amazing, amazing. It's going to be great. Are you ready? I hope you're buckled in because it could be a wild ride. You never know with me. All right. Verse 5. And this is one that you probably all know. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Verse 7, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Do you know you don't have to have brittle bones, bones that age and have lack of calcium and become weak? You don't have to have a flesh that's not healthy. The Bible tells us there is a way for you to live in health and strength. And it comes not from your own wisdom, but fearing the Lord and departing from evil. Verse 9, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." Who wants their barns filled with plenty? I want plenty to give away. There's plenty to give away too. Have you noticed that? "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." We could go on more. There's so much wonderful things here to process. But I'm just going to leave it there for a minute. I want to go back and start with verse 5, with those simple words, those four simple words, "Trust in the Lord." I have heard this verse since I was a small child. No one ever explained to me how to trust. Maybe that just sounds obvious. And some trust is just natural, okay? So, for example, I walked confidently up on the stage, trusting that I'm not going to fall through the floor here. All right? That didn't even enter my head. I just came pouncing up here, and I didn't even go. Right? I'm just like, yeah! Because I have a trust that the people who built this knew how to build. Okay? It wasn't the Barristan Bears. They knew what they were doing. So I have trust in that. Now, that's not something that I've had to work up courage for. I didn't sit there all morning praying and saying, "God, just give me courage to stand on that stage. Please don't let me fall through." I've already got a trust factor there. So there's some areas of our life where we can see trust is easy. It's natural. All right? How do we get trust in the Lord? We're noticing more and more and more people moving to Stanthorpe. Lots of new people finding that this is the place they want to make home, which I know is actually a fulfillment of a word God gave us over our town community. But if I was to meet one of those new people down the street and they were to meet me, we don't really trust each other yet. Even though I'm sure they're lovely people and they probably think I'm okay, they don't trust me and I don't trust them yet because we don't have any relationship. We don't have any background, we don't have any knowledge of one another. We're just encountering one another. So for a lot of us, I want to show you a demonstration that helped me just recently. God really began to help me to know how to trust him. Because we see all through the scriptures the phenomenal things that happen when people trust in the Lord. You can probably think of some things. Let's see if we can call out a few things. What about what happened with Abraham when he trusted in the Lord? Anyone know what happened with Abraham?
Father of many nations.
Father of many nations. He had a child when he was like 100. Imagine that. He was like, oh, is that your great-grandfather? No, that's my dad. Good thing they didn't have traditional schooling. Can you imagine, Isaac? Dad, can you just stay on the curb? I don't want anyone knowing my father. Oh, what else? Someone else trusted in the Lord. His name was Noah. What happened with Noah? Well, let's just say all of us are here because of Noah. Noah trusted this crazy word that God gave him about building this big thing called an ark because rain was coming. Like, who's ever heard of rain? That's ridiculous. Nobody's heard of this stuff. You're saying water's going to fall from the sky? Right, can pigs fly? I mean, it was crazy. But Noah trusted the word of the Lord, and he built the ark. And because he built the ark, humanity continued to this day. What? Pretty huge. That was a big thing to trust God in. How did he get to that point where he could trust God's word enough? Because it was kind of really out there what God asked him to do. What about three Hebrews that were given Babylonian names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Or as my English teacher used to say, Abednego. And he had the pointy finger to go with it. So, what about them? They're like put in this crazy position, bow down to the idol of the king. Well, see that furnace over there? You're going to be fried human today. How did they have trust in the Lord? It said that they said to the king, even if our God doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow down. We're going to honor and stand with him. But when they honored God and stood with God, he honored them and stood with them right in the middle of the fire. Hey, didn't we cast three men in the fire? One, two, three, four. I just wish I could see their faces. I can't math today. What's wrong with me? Oh, man. Jesus shows up in the middle of the fire. These people that put their trust in the Lord, I wanted to say that God also put his trust in them. God trusted Noah to build the ark according to the specifications that he gave him. God trusted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to stand firm. God trusted Abraham to believe him, even when it was impossible. It's funny because trust is a two-way street, right? Okay. Well, I have some bags. I just need to grab a few. Just give me a minute. Oh, man. This is what happens when I go away, because then I think, oh, I might need that. Oh, maybe I should pack that in. Is anyone else like me, or do you just pack life? Oh, my goodness. But you just never know. You might need that extra umbrella or the raincoat. Or the whatever. Ah, righto. Okay. Now this is my show bag. Okay. Hang on. I've got to get myself sorted here. Is that my bag? This going to represent my achievements front and center so everyone can see all the good things I've done. Good, huh? All right, it's my beautiful show back. Now, the problem is I'm trying to distract you. Look at this bag. So you don't know what else I'm carrying around with me, right? Because at the back here is a really heavy, which was the, this one? This was a really heavy bag of shame. But I'm trying to just keep that. Just trying to keep that outside. So I don't want anyone to know the shameful things that I've been involved in or done. No one needs to know that. So I just keep showing you my big bag at the front, all my achievements. Then, you know, not just my shame. I have a few regrets too. Why didn't I get up earlier? Why did I run late again? Oh, why did I hit snooze on the alarm? I have so many regrets that I carry around. Oh, no, not that you would see. See my bag? All my achievements. It's amazing. God and I would just like get on so well. And then I just have a few other bits and pieces called, religion. Oh no, my shame came out. Okay. Oh my gosh, this is such a hard message. But you're allowed to see this one, because this is all my religion. You know, all the things that I do and should do and meant to do and want you to think that I do all the time. And it's fine. You should come and be a Christian. It's really easy to follow God. It's so easy. He's so awesome. Oh, wait. And this is all the other people's expectations. I carry them a little differently. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to put that religion down for a minute. Okay. Oh, woo! Oh, there's expectations. Do they all match? I don't even know how to wear this. Oh, there we go. All right. No, they're looking beautiful today. Woo! Look at me, everybody. I think that's enough expectations. It's getting a bit ridiculous. Okay. So, oh no, now you can't see my achievements. All right. There's this amazing song we sing. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. You know that one? Sorry, I forgot all my other bags. These are the ones I don't want you to see. All right. So, this was me as a kid. Because I thought Christianity was the hardest religion on earth. I think it's easier to be a monk than live in a cave. Listen, I don't have all these expectations on me. It's just me and the cave. And... But when I'm trying to trust God and I'm so full of all this stuff, how is He supposed to give me something? Because my hands are a little bit full. Well, that expectation doesn't matter anymore. Right? I'm so, for the want of a better word, full of it. I'm full of stuff. And this bag is so heavy because it's all the things everybody tells me I've got to do to please God. And it's really, really heavy. Because you know what? In my own strength, I have never succeeded at pleasing God. Because I'm actually not that good. See my little achievement bag? It's kind of the smallest of them all. And if I was to be honest, this one was given to me. So, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And then he says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Do you know, this is the wisdom of man. Let's read a really wonderful verse because I kind of want to unload some of this. So can you please turn in your Bibles with me? I think it's Matthew 11. I'm hoping. I have lots of scriptures. Hang on. Okay. Matthew 11. Yes, I'm going to write 28 to 30. All right. It says to me, actually. Turn and read to these are the words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I think that I would qualify for this one. All right? He says, and I will give you rest. Can I tell you, Peter had a really big bag of this stuff. And he said, oh, Jesus, even if everybody else forsakes you, I'm never going to forsake you. I will always stand for you, Jesus. I will die for you. He had a big bag of religion. He honestly believed in his own self-effort. But do you know what? Jesus said, hey, why don't you come to me and just lay all of those expectations and all the things that people tell you have to do and don't do and must do and shouldn't do, why don't you just lay all of that down, even your shame, your regrets, all the things, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified Classic. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart. And you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. Did anyone notice anything? Have I laid everything down? Not quite. I mean, this is heavy, but it's a good heavy. This is all the things that I thought I was doing really well. Do you know what's happened to me lately? We've been talking about laying everything down, surrendering everything to Jesus. I had an encounter with the Lord over the September school holidays that I'm still living in today. It was the most glorious encounter with him. And in this encounter, the worship team was singing a song and they were in this tagline. It said, you can have it all, God. You can have it all. You can have it all, God. You can have it all. And I began to just lay some stuff down. All my regrets, my shame, all my self-efforts. Oh, began to lay it down. And you know what else? He began to show me pictures of people who had let me down, who had failed me, who had promised to be there at the first chance they got, they were gone. All the people that had spoken evil of me, hurt me, wounded me. And then that line would come again. You can have it all, God. How many know that hurt is a pretty heavy weight to bear. When people have hurt and wounded you, that's hard to bear. But there is a burden bearer who's saying, would you just let me take the weight for you? You can have it all. And what I began to notice, and this has been a journey over a few years, is that when I would talk to the Lord about some things, He would say, "That's interesting." And then He'd show me my own life. And I don't know how, I never saw this before, but I was doing the same thing that I was pointing out in someone else. I think Jesus called it something like a log in your own eye and a speck in someone else's. So what began to happen was the things that, like Paul said, I used to glory in all these things. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I kept the law. I was blameless. I did all these amazing things. But you know, when I met Christ, it's just like, I just didn't count for anything. Oh, I just got to say it like this. I feel good. Man. Oh, it's so nice. Do you know, in this encounter, as I kept laying it all down, you can have that too, God. You can have that too. You can have that pain. You can have that shame. You can have that worry. You can have that anxiety. You can have that heavy burden of having to please everybody and do everything right all the time and always be perfect. You can have it all, God. You can have it all. I began to feel so light that I began to think, why didn't I do this a long time ago? How many years have we carried our baggage around when He's inviting us to lay it down? You know, God doesn't ask for your shame to shame you. He asks for your shame to take the burden from you. Anything He's asking you to lay down is not because He wants to have manipulation and control in your life. It's because He wants to bring freedom into your life. Freedom. Freedom. Well, I'm carrying all that. I can't possibly function the way He created me to function. I can't run my race with all the weights. I have to let go. I really loved in the Amplified, verse 30. I want to read it to you again. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, or sharp. You ever carried something and it was poking in your back? How uncomfortable that is. It's not pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. So would you like to know how to get into this zone we can call trust, where we can let everything go, lay it all down, and we can trust Him? Well, for me, that journey has been getting to know Him. And not just getting to know Him, but getting to know, like as in, okay, there's so many scriptures, our God is a consuming fire, our God lives in unapproachable light, our God is like thunder and lightning surround His throne. Our God is surrounded by angels. It's sort of easy to try and think of the magnitude of our God. But the way we trust God is not necessarily by beholding His magnitude. It's by beholding His character. So when we come to God, it says, we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That tells me God is not looking to punish you. He's looking for every opportunity to reward you. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But see, what happens is our concepts of leaders and authority get fashioned by those around us, by the culture around us, by our upbringing. If we had harsh parents or harsh grandparents or people that really, you know, forced us to toe the line, but we were forced to do everything, regardless of whether we wanted to or not. And all of these things, you know, the government says you must do this and you must do that, and we get used to a type of authority, And then we think that God is like that kind of authority. That when you come to God, it's His way or the highway. Did anyone ever get told that as a kid? Well, why are you under my roof? Absolutely. I was told, you know, while you're living under my roof, this is how things will be. And not that I was a rebellious child, but there were boundaries in place. And it's not that our Heavenly Father doesn't have boundaries for us. He does. And those boundaries are our absolute most best life possible. But what do we think of when we think of the Lord? Can we trust His character? Do we understand His character? Now, in Proverbs, we read that verse that I said I wanted to unpack a bit more about mercy and truth. You see, the Bible says that God loves mercy even more than justice. He loves mercy. So when we think about approaching God, what is the authority figure that comes to mind, and how are we approaching Him? Are we kind of groveling to God? Are we begging? Are we coming with intimidation, trepidation, fear? Are we coming before Him, but we're not certain? It's kind of like, I'm going to ask God if He'll do this, but I really don't know. It's like when the kids come up to me and say, can we please do this? And I go, we'll see. Did you ever feel really confident if your parents said that? You're like, it's probably going to be no. We'll see. And so how are we approaching God? Are we approaching Him and going, I'm going to ask for this, but I think He'll probably just go, not today. Like, what is our expectation? Because do you know you can't have trust in God if you have the wrong expectation? So if I'm going to trust the Lord, I have to trust that He is good, kind, merciful, understanding, gracious, full of compassion. I have to believe that He doesn't see me the way I saw myself. That He doesn't see me as one covered in shame or guilt or regret or fear or anxiety or worry. He sees me as His child. Washed in the blood of Jesus, made perfect in Him, a new creation. So I can come and trust the Lord. Now, when I talk to the Lord, it says in Isaiah 55 that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts and His ways are higher than our ways. Do you know what that means? That all of my creative juices trying to figure out a solution are incomparable to His divine solution. And I actually have to lay aside all of my own understanding and say, I'm going to trust the Lord. He might tell me to do something that sounds a bit to me like what build an ark sounded like to Noah. He might say, hey, I want you to do this because this is my way of doing it. And I go, wow. That's really weird, but you know what? I trust you because I know you. I know that you are good. And if you're telling me to do it that way, it's because you've got a whole lot of good you're planning. And you're going to do something that's staggeringly amazing. So all I'm going to do is just say, yes, I'm going to trust you. You know, when God is asking for our yes, it's not so He can control us. It's because He already knows the best outcome for us. So when we have small children and they come up and they say, oh, can I please have this? And we ascertain what it is they're asking for, and we go, that's going to be really bad. That's not going to go well. Like imagine a little two-year-old or three-year-old coming up and they've got glass Christmas ornaments in their hand and they want to run around and play with them. Is that a great idea for them? Yeah! Shiny, beautiful, sparkly thing to play with. But what we see as parents or grandparents? Danger, right? You're going to probably trip over, land on that glass ornament, and get all cut up. So I'm not so worried about the glass ornament. I'm more worried about you and that you don't have the ability to handle what you're asking for yet. So I'm just going to say, hey, I'm not going to give you that one, but see this squeaky toy? You can have this. You can play with this. Because you know what? If you trip and fall on that, it's not going to hurt you. This is why we have to trust the Lord and not lean on our own understanding. Our own understanding is so limited to our environment and our, predisposition of how we've been raised. But God is so unlimited. He's saying, can you trust me? Because if you can trust me, I want to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what you could ask or think. I want to do so much more in your life. Will you trust me? Trust the Lord. It's really about understanding his character. Hey, let's jump over to Psalm 34. I've got so many scriptures, I'm glad I'm preaching again next week because I'm not even getting through a third of this today. But Psalm 34. This is my psalm, by the way. I will share it with you. But just letting you know, this is my life psalm. And I love it. I love every single verse. We might start at verse 1, and I'll just try and go through as quick as I can, and we'll wrap up soon, I promise. Okay, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My life makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble and afflicted hear and be glad. Remember me with all my achievements? This says, my life makes its boast Lord, not in my efforts, but in his efforts in me. Anything good in me, guess what? He did a good job. He did it. Because even though I tried and tried and tried, I could never change myself. But he did for me what I could never do for myself, and it was easy when I let him in. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I'm going to go back. I'm still in the Amplified. And if I keep reading in that, we will be here a long time. So I'm going to go back to the New King James. Okay. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. I love this verse. And delivered me from all my fears. See, this is actually how you trust the Lord. I have found my most effective prayers have been, fix me, please. And guess what? He comes in like a mighty deliverer. And he sets me free. Oh, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Do you know what? Do you know what God does with all of our stuff that we give to him? Do you think, where's my here, the shame? Do you think when I give my shame to the Lord that he goes, oh, next Sunday I'm going to bring this to church and I'm going to start displaying all your wares? That's what I used to think when it said, if you don't humble yourself, God will humble you. Do you know what I thought that meant? If you don't humble yourself, God will humiliate you. And do you think you can trust someone like that? You know, if you tell someone that you think is a close friend and confidant, and you share something really deep and personal with them, you're trusting them, aren't you? But they're not going to go and just display that to the world. But what happens when that trust is broken? Do you ever tell them something special again? Usually not, right? Because you think, man, that was really hurtful. I trusted you with that information. But why do we think God would be like that? Why do we think God would take our shame and put it on display? Do you know what he did put on display? It says the principalities and powers, that he paraded them down the street, triumphing over them. That is not what he does with all our stuff. It says as far as the east is from the west. That's how far he's removed all our transgressions from us. So he packs it all up, throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. And when you say, oh God, do you remember when I, he says, no, sorry, I don't have any record of that. Yeah, you know, I was really mean to that kid in school. Sorry, Jeremy, but your story with the banana just came into my mind. But anyway, see, I have a record of things he's done. But God is not like that. He doesn't go, oh, I remember, you were a naughty little brat at one stage. No. Remember, it says if anyone comes to Christ, he is a new creation. I looked up that word new in the Greek, and guess what it means? Never existed before. Brand new. So when the devil says about your past, and then you try and go to God with that about your past, God's going, what past? Oh, I see it. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Is that the past you're talking about? Because remember, I am the one who was and is to come. And I'm the one who was. I was there in your shame. But I already paid the price. So when I say I am the God who was and is to come, I'm not the God who was who's living in your mistakes. I'm the God who was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who was there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm the God who was there even on your worst day, and I never left you or forsook you. I am the God who was, and I'm the God who is, and I'm the God who is to come. I've got you covered. It doesn't matter if it's that way, this way, or that way. I've got you covered. I am your God, your covering. Oh, he's so good. I love this too. They looked to him and were radiant. And their faces were not ashamed. When we come to God with all our baggage and our stuff, we don't have to be like this. Can't look up at him, so embarrassed. No, it said they looked to him and all that fell away. And their faces were radiant. Do you know, I love being on the worship team. And I love watching you in worship. Because your faces change. It's true, by the end of worship, you glow. You're radiant. Because you can't be near him and not become like him. They were not ashamed. I'm going to finish with this verse. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Do you know what the qualifier was? Not my good works, not my achievements, not my striving or trying or my efforts. The qualification is just that I cried out and the Lord heard. Can you cry out today? Because if you can cry out, you can have it all, Lord. You can have it all. Those are the prayers that he hears. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him. And saved him out of all his troubles. There was no condemnation there that you had troubles. There was no condemnation that the man was poor. There was no condemnation for the situation. There was simply the revelation of salvation. If you called to me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. I just want to tell you, I believe God is looking for a people who trust him. He's looking for a people who will have faith in him. We're going to talk about faith next Sunday. Because, you know, trust and faith are a little bit different. But you can't have faith if you don't trust. You really can't. If you don't trust the Lord, you can't have faith that he's going to do what he said he'd do. What does his word mean to you if you can't trust him? If you think he's going to break his word, if you think maybe it doesn't apply to you, that maybe everybody else can be qualified, but for some reason you're never going to qualify. You can't have faith in a God you don't trust. We're going to look at that next week, but this week I want to invite you invitation into trusting in the Lord. Trust Him. You know, when I want to talk to God about something, I think sometimes He's really kind and goes, "Oh, wow, Nina, okay, that's amazing." He already knew. It's like when you've been told about a surprise party and you've got to keep the secret until the day. And then your friend, they get so surprised and they're like, "Oh, man, did you know? When did you know?" "Oh, I knew 2 months ago." It's like, "God, I've got baggage." He's like, "I know." He's not saying, "Oh, you've got baggage." He's saying, "Hey, do you want me to carry that for you? Because I can tell you now, I feel wonderful without it." He has a restorative place for you to live in with Him, where He's shouldering the load. I just got a picture of myself. I mean, most of you probably don't realize this, but I like to talk. And I'm just picturing myself walking along with Jesus, and He's carrying everything for me. And I'm just like yapping away. And then this happened. And then, oh, and then did I tell you about this? Oh, and this was amazing. And Jesus passes. And He's just like loving it. He doesn't care about carrying my load. He's God. Do you think He can handle it? He can handle it. He wants me free to be in relationship with Him. The whole purpose of our salvation is relationship with Him. Would you stand to your feet with me today? I'm just going to come to a time of prayer. Jeremy, do you know the song, "All to Jesus I Surrender"? It's the old one. Do most of you know that song? The old one? Okay. So you can handle no words, maybe. I just feel like I want to pray for you, but I think the most effective thing would really be for you to just engage with God for yourselves. And we're going to sing this song. And I pray that you have an encounter with the most wonderful being in the universe, just as I did. When I was able to finally just lay it all down and let it go. Everything. All the things I did right, all the things I did wrong. Just everything. Because, you know, if I have to keep a hold of all the things I've done right, the good chance is if I really dig in deep to why I did right, there's probably some wrong motive somewhere in there anyway. Because my own righteousness is like filthy rags. So I just want to let it all go and just surrender. Let's just take a moment or two or ten in His presence. Just getting ready to sing. Sure. God did everything. The only way I can receive is when I have hands that are empty, hands that are open. When I don't come with any of my own goodness, but I say, I need all of your goodness. I need all of you. Just come and lay it down. Even right now, I just feel the Lord saying there's going to be a lot of physical healings in the house today. Because as you surrender, the pain and the weight is going to leave your body as well. As you let the soul become unfed, let the soul become refreshed and restored and renewed, your body's going to follow in its wake. We're just going to sing this one more time. I want to sing it reverently. I want to sing it with honor. I want to come before my King. And I want to humble myself and just lay myself down at His feet. Jesus, I surrender all. I surrender all my achievements. I surrender all the things that I think I did get right. I surrender everything. That I can glory in You alone. That I can stand in the power of the cross alone. By grace alone.
Raise your hand.
God is going to deliver you, set you free. We sought the Lord and he heard us and delivered us of all our fears. Lord, those things that have restricted us, restrained us, tried to take our voice, tried to snatch our breath, tried to make us unfit and unable to run the race set before us. Lord, I thank you today we let go. Lord, we let go and we let your breath fill our lungs. We let your breath come and flow through our sinuses, Lord. Through our every part of us, God. Thank you for your breath in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. People with pain in their eyes. Pain in their eyes. I don't really know what that means. Something is painful. I don't know if it's a physical pain or if it's a situation you're looking at. And you can't stop looking at it, and it's causing you immense pain. But I want you to know the Lord sees you today. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you've witnessed. He knows what you've seen. And if you're willing to give it over, he can take that pain for you today.
You're kneeling, you're in torment. God is telling you, I see you.
life for you. And right now, I'm inviting you to come to me. Don't carry your burden anymore of sin. Oh, I love that old song. What can wash away my sin? Oh, there's nothing but the blood of Jesus. And today he's going to cleanse you. Those who raise your hands, he's going to wash you. He's going to give you a brand new future, a brand new life, a brand new hope. Birth you into a new family, the family of God. Why don't we pray together? I want you to say this. Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. To save me. To forgive me. And to make a way for me. To come to the Father. I put my whole trust in you. Make me a child of God. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand, because you know it says in the Bible, all that happened rejoice and just come to Jesus. So there's a party right now going off in eternity, because there's some more people who just went from darkness to light. Amen. He's so good. He's so good. Hey, take this into your week. Encounter the Lord. Get into his presence. He's not going to condemn you. He's going to change and transform you. And that's what he's looking for, is a life surrendered, is a life that's full of abundant life. Lord, would you bless your people today, each and every one here and watching online. Father, I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Lord, I thank you for your kindness. Lord, I pray that they would come to know you so they can trust you and so they can lean not on their own understanding, but be led by you every moment of the day. Oh, Lord, I just have one request. Encounter each and every one of them this week with your love and your goodness. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Awesome. Get into Connect Groups. There's Bible study here Wednesday night, 6:30. You're more than welcome. Merle has a ladies' Bible study that runs Tuesdays. What time is that, Merle? 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, you can even sleep in because God loves you. And
also, Forge Men Saturday.
Forge Men on Saturday. Guys, don't miss that.
Should we bring it earlier so that the men come and pray? Yeah. So I think Forge Men is going to come here to pray at 4 o'clock, hour of hour, and then follow after that with the men's group. Does that work for men?
Yeah,
that does. That sounds good.
Tell me it doesn't. Too late? Okay, that's happening. Can I also just say, as we come to a close, we finish, but when it rains real heavy here, those of you that have been here long enough know, but we can have a bit of leakage out in the foyer, so please just be really careful with where you step, and it could be a bit of weight. I don't know, have a look down there, but just be safe and don't sweat. All right, bless you. Enjoy morning tea.
Yes.